When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
How to get rid of my crazy baby mama. LOL, yeah, I know I should have wrapped up the love rocket.
Well, at this point in life, dude, you're just dealing with the consequences of failure to pull out and making the decision to finish inside of her. And so now, for the next 2 decades, whether you like it or not, you're going to be co-parenting with the, I guess, the crazy ex-baby mama of yours. And so it would behoove you to learn to really spend time on things like how to win friends and influence people and really learn and develop your people skills and your communication skills and getting to the point where you make your ex feel heard and understood as much as possible. You know, hopefully she's not too much of a crazy girl or a lunatic and is determined to make your life hell, because there's plenty of horror stories on the internet of guys getting involved with women like this that don't let them see their kids, or they're constantly using the courts to browbeat a man who broke her heart, in essence, just so she can get revenge. Women can be very mean and very vindictive. And I have women that I know, they're married to friends of mine, and I was friends with both of them. And I know one in particular, you know, they had agreed to how they were going to split the house up and the investment properties. But like a dunce, he went ahead and quit claimed their primary residence over to his ex-wife to be. Mm-hmm. When they were in the middle of the divorce, and she was supposed to get the big house and he was going to keep the investment properties that they had. And when, you know, the settlement agreement came, she wanted to keep 100% of the house that they live in. And keep in mind, he quit claimed it. So even though he was on the hook for the mortgage, he no longer owned the house. He had no legal right to it, even though legally was obligated to pay the mortgage, and that was on his part because he was stupid. Mm-hmm. And she wanted half the rental properties. And so he had to give her a bunch of cash for those particular rental properties. And after all was said and done, when they finally got divorced, he was like, "What happened? We agreed." Mm-hmm. And she said, "I wanted to make it so you did not have enough money to have another family." Because they had a couple of kids together, and he ended up leaving her. Things were bad for a lot of years. They hadn't had sex in, I think it was 3-4 years.
Yeah.
And it was not a good marriage, not a good relationship. And he finally left, and she looked him right in the eye and was, "Oh yeah, you get all the investor properties. I just want the house," and smiled to his face. And meanwhile, she's got the knife behind her back and just waiting for the right moment to shank him with it. And he, like a dunce, being trusting, just signs a quick claim deed over to her. And she was doing it to scheme and to plot against him, because to her, it was try to get as much of his money and his assets as possible and sweet talk him into it. And then, of course, he signs a quick claim deed. And so he has no legal claim to it. And even in court, he was talking to asking the judge, he's like, "This is what we agreed." And he says, "You signed the quitclaim deed, so legally she owns all of the house, doesn't, you know." And in the state of Florida, when it comes to real estate, the contract has to be in writing. Consideration has to be exchanged. Mm-hmm. And in this particular case, they had a verbal agreement for a piece of real estate. But the legal documentation was she got the deed. He signed over all of his ownership interest to her, and she went back on her word. And quite frankly, she had no intention of honoring her word. It was just a ploy to get him to relinquish all of his rights of ownership to their primary residence. And he was still on the hook to pay the mortgage.
That's insane.
And I asked him about it. I was like, "Why didn't you call me?"
Yeah.
He's like, I didn't want to call my friend and admit that I've been a bitch with my wife.
Right.
And that she did that to him. I mean, I learned about it all after the fact. I was like, God. I was shocked. I was shocked that this woman did this to my friend because I knew them both. I love them both. I still do. And mm-hmm. she came from a very extremely wealthy family. So it was like they didn't need the money.
Right.
But it was a revenge thing for her. Mm-hmm. It was cold. It was calculated. And even though she's one of the nicest people I've ever met, it's like she was willing to do this to the father of her children just to make it, at least in her mind, she thought that she would take so much of his money because he's older.
Yeah.
You know, he's around my age, that she would prevent him from getting remarried and having kids, which that didn't work out because he ended up getting remarried and started having kids with his new wife.
Mm-hmm.
But with a lot less equity, we're talking $1 million plus in equity that he lost. So that one mistake cost that dude $1 million of money that was his, that he was entitled to. $1 million.
That's
one moment of stupidity and you're out $1 million to your ex-wife.
Mm.
I have lied to your face.
I have a friend that she was dating a guy that was still married to his wife or whatever, and he was in the midst of signing papers of the divorce. They already separated, and he was already living out of the house and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he started dating my friend, and once the wife found out, because she was still a wife, she threatened him and said, well, I heard you're talking to some lady and she's really ugly or whatever. And if you think you're going to divorce me after being with this lady, I'm going to get child support on you. You're not going to be able to see the kids anymore. Forget about holidays and all this stuff. And basically threatening his whole life. And he was just like, why? If we both agreed to a divorce, why are you so upset? But obviously that triggered the wife, baby mom.
She's hurt and she wants revenge.
Yeah, and she's just like, no, especially if you're going to be with the ugly woman or whatever like that. Like, she got offended. So it's like it ended up jeopardizing the relationship with my friend, and she ended up leaving him because she was like, if you're not going to divorce her, I don't want to be with you because I feel like I'm committing, what's it, adultery?
Adultery, yeah.
Yeah. And to her, she was like, to me, it feels like you're never going to leave her in fear of whatever, losing your family and stuff like that. So the relationship ended up breaking up. So, yeah, to answer that question, don't let your baby mama try to ruin your life or future relationships.
Yeah, when you're dealing with women in a breakup and you got kids and alimony and child support and assets to dispose of, if you're thinking about getting divorced, because I deal with that a lot and people that I'm doing phone sessions with. And it's like, you've got to talk to an attorney in your city, your country, wherever you happen to live, because the laws are different everywhere. I'm dealing with people all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to divorce your significant other, before you do that, before you file papers, you need to sit down with an attorney and find out what your rights are, what you're entitled to, and what the likely outcome is going to be based on the laws and your city, state, and country.
Mm-hmm.
Before you do anything. Because I've seen, I remember there was a guy that when I was in real estate that worked for me, and he was kind of like, he was one of those really religious, you know, Christian guys, and he was really arrogant about his religion and had the attitude that like, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, and the rest of y'all are going to hell. And we got our Chrysler minivan and our 3.3 kids, and my wife's so hot, and we were college sweethearts, and we're doing this, and we're awesome, and we're great, and we're making all this money. And they had a bunch of investment properties, houses that they had bought, fixed up, and a lot of them were rented out. Some of them they were flipping.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, this was after he had left and started his own thing. Because I remember his wife, she was also in the business, and we knew her. And I remember she came into our office and sat down with one of my other guys. I think she was looking to offload or sell some of these properties or buy some more. I can't remember what it was. And then she proceeds to tell this, you know, one of my other guys, my top guy, that she had split up with this other dude. And then she starts hitting on him because she obviously liked him. And then we later found out from this other guy that I guess when he was at work or he was away during the day, she went into their company bank accounts and emptied all the cash. And then she reopened bank accounts at a different bank in just her name and put all of their personal bank account cash there and all the investment money from their real estate properties, like hundreds of thousands of dollars, just cleaned them out. And he had no idea. And then she served him with divorce papers, and he's got nothing. He's got nothing in his business accounts. He's got nothing in his personal account because he and her were in business together. And that wrecked him pretty good. It was a big blow to his ego. And I remember after the fact, it was interesting. He got into like the pickup and the seduction community. And when my friends and I, we were, you know, we would see him downtown. We were in our late 30s, and he was out like seven nights a week. What? Trying to pick up girls. He was following like the mystery method. And he got pretty good. And he was always going home with a different chick. And it was so interesting to see this guy who was so proud, who was so arrogant. And he was Christian and he was saved and he's this and that. And his wife and their marriage, they're perfect. And they're awesome. They're all going to heaven. And the rest of us are going to hell. And then his wife just destroyed him, cleaned him out, wrecked his confidence.
Damn.
And then, you know, all this stuff happened in, like, you know, the previous bus cycle. And so he ended up getting out of real estate altogether, doesn't even have a real estate license anymore. And he, last I heard, he was working in a mall, like at a Macy's or something like that, in a men's clothing department. And it's like, that dude was making multiple six figures and killing it in real estate when things were really good, you know, 15, 20 years ago. Before the last bus cycle, and his wife just destroyed his self-confidence, destroyed his life. And I don't think he's not even religious. You know, he's taking home a different girl every other night. You know, he was just keeping score. To him, it was like the thrill of the hunt. And so, you know, he works in the mall at an hourly job when he had been this big dog in the real estate industry.
She really discouraged him.
She demolished him. And that happens. Because what she did to him was totally irrational. I mean, they knew each other most of their lives. They had kids together. And for her to do that, you know, it was like a sneak attack.
Yeah.
I mean, she just cleaned the guy out. He couldn't even go hire an attorney because he had no cash. She took all of it.
It's like a flashbang.
Yep. It's like an EMP nuked his life.
Yeah. She did the Men in Black flash.
Yep. She hit the reset button on his life. You get to the end of the game, you got all these lives, you got all these special powers.
Plug it out.
And then you lose everything. And then you go all the way back to the very beginning of the game, start over, and you got nothing.
He just threw out that game and just said, whatever. Taking a different route.
Yeah, because afterwards she was trying to come after him for alimony. And he's like, part of it was like, I'm going to. She was making more money than he was because, you know, he was working, I don't know, making 15, 20 bucks an hour, whatever it was. And he's still doing that. And it's like,
well, maybe he's happy doing that now.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe it was a stressful, because that life is kind of hard. Real estate is kind of stressful, too, to keep going. And maybe he was addicted to high eat
also. Well, I remember talking to him about it, because we were all out of the industry by that point. And it was like 2008 to 2010, 2007 to 2010. That was a horrible time to be in real estate. So you really couldn't make much money in the industry at the time because nothing was really selling. Nobody wanted to buy because everything was going down in value. And he was like, I let my real estate license go. He was burned out. He was done with the industry just because, you know, things had imploded so much in the industry, plus what his ex-wife-to-be had done to him. He was just like, fuck it, I'm not going back.
Yeah. Maybe it's easier for him at Macy's now. It's chill.
I had another guy that he was a personal trainer when he came to work for us, and he knew a lot of people, so he was able to get referrals, and he did well working for us. And then when the industry crashed, he lost his house, and he ended up, I think, getting into a relationship with a woman who did real well. And last I heard, he works at Home Depot.
I don't like working at Home Depot. I mean, it was fun, but they didn't treat you nice. They didn't care about you. The raises were like by cents. It was horrible. And if you actually did like crazy sales or something, they would congratulate you with like a little sticker. Be like, oh, great effort or whatever. I'm just like, okay.
How long did you work at Home Depot for?
I think like 2 years.
2 years, really?
Yeah. I got raised like, I think, 50 cents at most.
Nice.
And.
Big bucks.
Yeah. And if I did do really good, it was just like a sticker. Or they'll have like a cool little pizza party, like if we were in high school or something. Not even high school, middle school. In the lobby. I'm just like, okay, this is my way of praising me for all my hard efforts in sales.
How old were you when you started working there?
I was like 17, I think.
So you were up in D-Land? Or were you
I was down here, yeah.
So you started working there in high school?
Like after high school. Like once I graduated, that's when I... Because I didn't work when I was in high school. My mom never forced me. But right after high school, that's when I wanted to make money. And that was like I think that was my second job. And my first one was Spirit Halloween. And I actually got raised like $1 there or $2 for the season because it was seasonal.
What was it, like 3-4 months they would be open?
Yeah. It was like August to October because you have to set up.
90 days.
Yeah. And they actually would raise you good because you're setting up, doing a bunch of things. I got paid more there for those 3 months and was appreciated more for my work there than Home Depot. It's insane.
So you got to work in retail.
Yeah.
I worked at Service Merchandise for 3 years.
Mm. Yeah.
Back in the day. They're just online now.
Yeah. No.
The original owners, they, you know, relaunched the website, and so they just sell things online now. Mm.
And it's also crazy. I don't know why I'm crapping on Home Depot, but even like the guys who do the trees, like they help you with the trees, you're not allowed to accept tips. It has to be like undercover, which is sad because you're doing all that hard work and Home Depot doesn't even let you get the tip for it.
Well, what happens is then people start expecting it and then they start being an asshole to people that don't tip them. That's where they run into the issue.
True. I think
it's like Publix, you know, we're shopping as a pleasure. Mm-hmm. It's at least that's what it used to be. They would have it written down, you know, don't tip. This is part of our service.
Right. Tip for what?
If somebody takes your groceries out.
Oh, they do that?
Yeah.
Never heard of it. Well, I've seen old people, which is reasonable.
Well, usually like, oh, can I take this out to your car? And they take the cart like they're going to push it out. I was like, hey, man, I can get my own cart.
Oh, interesting.
Because that used to be part of the service.
Really?
I assume they still do it.
No. No, I've never seen that.
Really?
Only if it's like a really old lady with a cane, I've seen that, but not like a regular young person or something like that. You could do it yourself.
Yeah, they're not as aggressive as they used to be with it. But in the past, like 20 years ago, it's like they would just grab your cart and start walking out the door.
Really?
You know, because I was like, hey, I can get the cart myself, dude.
Yeah.
I'm an adult. I can handle it.
Yeah.
I can, and plus you want to put the stuff in your car anyways because they put it in there. If you got bleach or whatever, shit ends up tipping over and leaking. And then you get a stain in your carpet.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they have curbside now, but you kind of have to. Like, it gives you the option to tip.
Oh, so you can tip at Publix now.
Curbside.
I did not know this.
That's when you wait in the car and they already packed your groceries for you.